Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
So how many would say 2019 was certainly a year maybe a little different than you expected? Anybody want to say that? Want to be a little more vulnerable? How many would say that 2019 was a little more painful than you expected? I'm going to raise my hand with that one. You know, we try to prepare ourselves and be ready, and sometimes some things happen. Interesting enough, I'm not sure how many were aware that at Bethel Church, of course, we were close with. We're not necessarily under them, but we're close and know a lot of people there now. And can't remember the exact date, but one of their worship leaders who, you know, we sing her songs and all that, their daughter passed away suddenly in their sleep, 2 years old. And very traumatic, not expected. But what's interesting is that it's Callie is her name, and she decided, her and her husband, they said, we want to contend for resurrection life. And so for 5 days, they contended for resurrection life. And the church gathered to pray, and, you know, this is a very close family, obviously. Interesting that Bill put out a video because they were getting a lot of criticism. You know, just why don't you let her mourn? And you know, one of the things that Bill said was, A, we are partnering with parents that have faith to see their child resurrected, and we want to honor that. The second thing is that we believe the word of God, and Jesus said that you shall raise the dead. And it's interesting that the body of Christ criticized them for the very thing that we're all supposed to believe in. But it's such a foreign thing that people don't know what to do with it. And I watched them and I thought, I wonder how they're going to navigate this. Of course, we're all waiting for that victory. We're all waiting for that news that she just, you know, she was in the morgue. She wasn't on life support. She was in the morgue. So this was like super huge faith. And so we're waiting for that story to unfold and that, you know, that amazing news, and it never happened. And I watched as they navigate and wrote a beautiful letter about how they contended as a church and how they pressed for healing and we're not going to change the subject. And it was beautiful. One of the things that Bill said was he knew a guy that lost his arm, I can't remember how, but very athletic and ended up going into handball. Is it called handball? It is handball. I know there's European handball, but it's just with the hard ball you hit against the wall. And he got into it with one arm because he could still play that and ended up becoming it was either a national champion or world champion. And when asked how he could do it, beat other people with two arms, he said, that's easy. He says, I only have one choice. Because he said other people, when they have a ball coming, they actually have to instinctively make a decision. Do I hit with my left or my right? He says, I only have one option. And Bethel, a long time ago, said, we only have one option, that is the word of God, and we're going to go after it. And it's amazing, though, how much criticism they got for going after the very word that we all believe in. Of course, quickly, people were like, well, no, you know, you have a side that says that's spiritual resurrection and not physical. Then why did people raise the dead? Why did Jesus raise the dead? Why did Paul raise the dead? Peter. And you have people that just made all these different excuses. And one of the things that I watched and walked away with is that they know what they're going after and they're not going to change the subject. And it brought, in the midst of confusion even for me as I watched this, it brought a lot of faith to go, we need that. We need courage like that, no matter what. Incredible. I think the most incredible part to the story is the husband and wife for 5 days helped lead worship and prayer for their daughter to be raised up. And we're not talking, you know, Bethel is global. Bethel is, you know, she's online, and they are worshiping the king. And the coolest story that's coming out of it, and I talked to Tom yesterday, Tom Crandall, and he said they are still, like, he doesn't even have words to try to express what they witnessed. They were waiting for this story to be fulfilled, but he said God wrote a completely different story of faith in their group. That he said they are all in shock over the presence of the Lord that showed up at their meetings and how much it has wrecked them and changed their life. Like, Tom was at a loss for words to try to even explain it. And so I think sometimes we can have a perspective and we expect it to go this way and God does this and we're confused, or God doesn't, maybe, you know, the mystery's there, and yet this whole other story that I believe is going to catapult them into the next. Because I think we will see resurrection really soon. Because it's biblical. People die out of time. It's a world that has sin in it. And God is waiting for people that'll go, are you going to take me serious? And they took God serious. Now, maybe this time they didn't see it, or maybe two times. He says they see more miracles in a month than he expected to see in a lifetime. And so they're contending for something greater now, which is beautiful, isn't it? So every year I say this statement. See who can finish it for me. Direction, not intention. Anybody finish it? Leads to destination. And, you know, I cannot believe, honestly, as I sat here and prepared, I thought, where did a year go? Because I remember saying that, and it felt like last month. And here we are, a year later, I'm saying the same thing again. And the purpose of that statement is that we can have a lot of good intentions. How many had a lot of good intentions to do something last year that you know you didn't do? Anybody want to admit to that? How many felt like a good intention of getting into the best shape of your life? Still working on that. Christmas caught up with me. You could have a good intention to do something. This year I'm going to do this. And if we don't put direction to that good intention, so often we're going to be a year later going, man, I thought that was going to happen. But how many know thinking something's going to happen and seeing it happen are totally different? Absolutely. Totally different. And I am so blessed. I did not plan on it. We had enough time. I didn't plan on doing testimonies, but that is amazing. You guys need to be proud of who you are and what we're going after and what you're doing. It's amazing to have people on Christmas vacation and leading people to the Lord. And come on, give yourself a big clap, because that is amazing. You need to be encouraged. It's awesome. So as I kind of looked at Antioch over this next year and what has happened, it's been a year. It's been a year, hasn't it? Some amazing things, some difficult things, some confusing things, and yet we're standing, and we're standing strong. And I believe 2020, God's going to continue to do great things. Amen? I really do believe that. He did great things in the midst of challenging things, amazing things. One of the questions I want you to ask yourself, and this is where the sheets come into, save one. I want you to have one, because we're going to bring it up here, so don't write on that paper. But I want to ask you a question. This is for your own notes. This is the question. If I could go back 1 year from today, what would I tell myself after all that I've walked through? If you could go back 1 year and you already knew what you were going to walk through, what would you tell yourself? One of the things I wrote down, it's not as bad as you think. You ever have that? It's over. We're done. Ship's crashing. Interesting enough, I sat with two people over the beginning of the holidays that both went through really challenging divorces some years back. And to hear their story now, because they shared their story then, stories that I didn't even fully hear about. And I look at their life now. One of the gentlemen has, you know, two beautiful children out of his new marriage. And it was a devastating moment. And in that time, he thought, I don't know if I'll ever get through this. I don't know if there's a better story. And yet he's now here. He's already had restoration with his ex-wife. He's newly married. They're doing great things for God. He would have never have expected that. So his message often to people is, you're going to get through this. It may look like there's no way, but I promise you, God can give you a way. What's something you tell yourself if you looked upon the year? Maybe some of you needed to hear, you're going to get through this. It'll be okay. I wrote another thing down. Prepare for change, if I could tell myself anything. Keep your heart right and tender. Maybe this is for you. Don't let disappointment define you. Anybody have some disappointment last year? Just a couple hands? Yeah. And isn't it easy to let disappointment define you? One of the things, again, out of Bethel that I so appreciate, they refuse to let what they see determine their theology. They refuse to go, well, this didn't happen, therefore this can't be right in the Bible. They choose, and I think this is honestly, that's why some of them have become like heroes for me to push these things forward, because they refuse. It's the Word of God says this, therefore this is the truth no matter what I see. That's incredible. That's conviction. It's such a rare thing nowadays. Because so often we'll say something, what's the expression that the there's a fear that the millennials, it's a real actually thing. Fear of missing out. What is it? FOMO. Thank you. FOMO, fear of missing out. It's something that millennials struggle with because they have access to so many forms of information and opportunities and invitations that there's always this fear that they're going to miss out on something. And I'm trying to remember why I was going there. Somebody want to connect the dots? Fear of missing out. Thank you. So often, you get an invitation, you say yes, but a better invitation, so there's no conviction, and you say yes to this one, and you say yes to this one, or you don't say yes to anything at all. I think it's a season in 2020 that we just continue to say yes to the Word of God and go after it. We say yes, and we're going after it. So don't let disappointment define you. Take care of your heart and your health. I would have said to myself and others, your faith will be tested, but you will persevere. And then maybe somebody needs to hear this, you're stronger than you think. How many can look at yourself and go, you know what, I'm stronger than I thought I was. Stronger than you think. How many have had disproportionate favor? Brandy and Shane, remember your story, it's awesome. Okay, another question. Now, I always ask you this, 1 year from now, where do you want to be? I'm not talking physical location, unless there is some place that you want to be physically located. Not Hope, British Columbia. You're staying here, Sean, if God wants you to. But where do you? What does 1 year from now look like? And so often we'll write a question down or think of it and go home and forget about it. But really, what does 1 year look like from now? Because you know what? It'll be like this, and I'll be standing here going, remember 1 year ago? And we'll be like, wasn't that yesterday? No, it was a year ago. But what does a year from now look like for us as a church, for you as a family, for you as an individual? 1 year from now, what does it look like? I think that's one of the most powerful questions we can ask ourselves. You know, Joy is mentioning, we've done this before. What's your one word? What's your one word for the year? How many do that still? You pray about a word. What's your one word for the year? What's the one thing you're going after? I've come to realize I am a person that likes to go after 25 to 100 things. How many have at least 10 books on the go? Anybody? I do. At least 10 books on the go. But so often we need to learn that we need that one thing to go after. What's one thing? And then the last question, and actually Pastor Gary already asked this today, which is great. I think this is the ultimate question. Do I look and act more like Jesus than I did last year? Do I look and act more like Jesus? Because you know what? If we're going to determine if we have fruit in our life, that's the question we need to ask ourselves. Doesn't matter if you built a new house and renovated something and, you know, all the things that we do are good. But in the end, if we're not looking like Jesus, if we don't have the nature of Jesus, we're missing something. Now, we are going to show the video. I'll show it next week for those that didn't see it, the year in review. We did a lot of wonderful things. We had the House of Hope. We had the youth conference 3 months away. Unbelievable. 3 months away for our youth conference. All the things that we're going to do. We have the youth conference, then we have the women's conference, and then we have the kids ministry and all the good things. But we don't do it to check off to say that we did something. You know, it is wonderful. It does my heart good to hear that Julie's mom, not that I'm happy that she wept through the whole thing. That's not necessarily what I'm looking for, but that she was touched by what we did. Because it makes the effort worthwhile. You know, it's great to know that the two brothers are here and the family's here because last year they got touched by the Christmas celebration. And they, you know, you said it was about a month before you started 10 full time, but they're here. And not only are you here, you guys are amazing helpers. And I'm so blessed by you guys, honestly, because they were helping on that last Sunday night and helping us take things down. And Connie was here. Like I said, people are on vacation, different things. Connie was upstairs. You know, Connie Robinson. Connie's always here, but Connie Robinson was here. And she was upstairs helping wait on tables. You know, it's amazing to think that a tragedy like Susan's death has brought Connie back into the kingdom. It's amazing what God can do. Because she came to the funeral, And she's been wanting to make sure Rebecca gets touched. And in the process, she gets caught up in what God is doing and loves it. Isn't that beautiful? Beauty from ashes, right? It's awesome. So do I look and act more like Jesus? All right, so we are going to do something with that paper towards the end. We're going to take communion together in a few minutes. So church, what are we going after in 2020? I have a few things on my heart. Turn to Isaiah 58. I can't not plan the future without going to Isaiah 58. If I could wrap up 2019, I'd have to say it was a bit of a... There were several moments in the year that I found myself disappointed and often ashamed at the global body of Christ. The seemingly pettiness, the arguments, the destroying of people. And there's something inside of me that says, I want to be the bride. And I want to be a church that acts different. And in order for us to act different, we have to, first of all, know the nature and character of Jesus. And then we have to go after being like that. And it's going to take everything we have inside of us to not. There is a spirit that I believe has been released over this world. It's both political, it's destructive. There's a lack of honor like I've never seen in my entire life. And I was a teenager, so I know what, you know, we are all teenagers. We know what lack of honor can look like. But this is a lack of honor like I've never seen. When people can't even call a president, I don't care what they believe in, something's gone amok. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not like we have to believe everything people say, but there's still an honor that should be there. This is, you know, people that hold positions, and we can say the same thing, you know. We may want this prime minister in, and now we have this prime minister, and we may not like that, but we need to learn to honor no matter what. Because the Bible clearly states we need to pray for those in leadership. And I look at the body of Christ where the controversies of women that have been thrown on the bus, Beth Moore that's been destroyed over, or trying to be destroyed over comments, and I think, can't we just do what the body of Christ is supposed to do? We spend so much time destroying each other on social media. How do we have time to even go about the Father's business? And what I love to hear from you guys is I don't hear any of that. And I'm so thankful. You know, when we're on social media, the last thing I want to do is criticize what somebody else is doing because I have not walked a day in their shoes. So why would I want to criticize what they're doing? And I think, you know, as Christians, we've made a lot of mistakes and we've thrown words towards people that maybe, you know, the negative, but also, you know, speaking of somebody, maybe the way they shouldn't be, putting them on a pedestal, maybe they shouldn't be. But my point is we got to shut our mouths. Pastor Rod in October brought a message about what this year, 2020. Now, we already know for the Jewish people, their year has already started. But 2020 is all about, the whole decade is all about the mouth. And it's interesting that the decade before that we're just finishing was all about the eyes. And so now it's literally, we spend a decade to try to get our eyes right, meaning that we will perceive things properly. So now we can spend the next decade speaking right. And I think there's people in the body of Christ that have nailed it. And I think there's people in the body of Christ that has just missed it. But I want to be people in the body of Christ that go for the decade of 2020, our mouths will speak the right thing. And how many know that it's hard to speak sometimes the right thing? Give you an example when you know it's hard. When you're in an argument with someone and your blood, you're boiling. Isn't it hard in that moment to go, I want to speak the right thing over you right now and bless you. No, I want to strangle you. Turn to Isaiah 58. I'm sure you're there already. I love Isaiah 58. It's been a cornerstone in my theology and my life. I can't even remember when I first read. I remember reading Isaiah 58:12, and it just kind of rocked my life. But then when I started to dissect the whole Isaiah 58, I realized this is the body of Christ. This is for us. It starts and it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." And it's interesting because you're waiting for this whole list of horrible things that they do, you know, they're always drunk and they're into prostitution, but it doesn't go there. It says, They seek me daily to delight to know my ways. Like, these are people that are getting up going, God, I got to know you. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. And they say, why have we fasted? They say, and you have not seen. And why have we afflicted our souls and yet you take no notice? In fact, the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit or drive hard your laborers or your workers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is this the fast that I have chosen, a day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? And I think it's interesting. These are people that want to know God. And yet he's saying, when you fast, you end up in arguments and there's strife and you're driving the workers. That's not the fast that I've called you to. And I look at the body of Christ and I said, Lord, we're all trying to go after the same thing. We want to see people saved, set free, and healed. And yet we spend a lot of time in strife and debate. Well, my goal is in 2020 to get rid of strife and debate. Now, you will never get rid of arguments. You will never get rid of disagreements. Let's just be real. Family will always have disagreements. Show me a family that agrees 100% of the time, and I'll show you a family that probably doesn't communicate well. Honestly, it's not that we won't disagree. It's how we disagree and what we do with our disagreement. I think there's times where we can get caught up in something, and we need to go, whoa, 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 whoa. Is this even worth talking about? Because if it's not leading people into the kingdom and we're getting stuck on one little dot, let's just move on. God will sort it through. How many know that in time God sorts things through? If we were to look at as a church, you know, our theology over the last 25 years, we've never ever lost sight of who God is, that God loves us, that he saves us. It's through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that we're saved. But there are things that we've grown in. We've come to understand grace to a whole nother level. It's part of the journey. It's an amazing part of the journey. It's never boring. And I would have argued before. I did argue with people. And now I stand here on this side and I'm like, it is so clear to me now what grace looks like. But back then I would have argued law and it was so clear. It's part of growth. Amen? So sometimes we get on our soapbox and we want to just lambaste people. I'm thinking, why don't we just let this sit? Because it's really not a big deal. Jesus clearly said, because they're like, they're not with us. What should we do with them? And Jesus is like, hey, are they proclaiming my name? Leave them alone. And I think sometimes that's what we need to do. Oh, this group's not Christian, and that group is Christian. And this, I don't know about that, but let's just keep doing what we're called to do. What are we called to do? Well, Isaiah 58, continue reading. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness. Didn't we sing about that? Didn't Shane lead us in that today? Freedom. How many want to see more people set free in 2020 than ever before? How about that's our goal? That's one of our goals. Let's just see a ton of people set free in 2020. Whether we're on the streets or on Skype. If we just go, you know what? I just want to see people encounter the love and the freeing power of Jesus Christ in 2020. Put away all the other things that are getting people messed up right now and just go, I want to see people set free. But what if, why did they pray for 5 days? And I love what Bill Johnson said. He said, we don't have a manual on this other than Jesus says to pray for the dead and raise the dead. So that's what they did. And at some point they decided we've prayed as long as we could. And you know what the amazing thing is that Callie, the mom, I haven't heard from the husband, not me personally, but on social media. You know there's a core value in you when you can have a loss and she gets on the next day after the funeral and says, my God is such a good God and I will never stop proclaiming that. That's amazing. That is courage. That is something that is so deep within her. And you said it, Karen, beautifully. Our circumstances may change, but God doesn't. And sometimes there's a mystery that we have to try to weave through and give things to God and say, Lord, I don't understand this mystery. We've walked through it in 2019. There were some mysteries in 2019. But we said yes, and I have all those yeses that we said yes to in October, that we will not stop going after the goodness of God, the healing of God, miracles of God, the family of God. Amen? You know, I looked through a lot of our prophetic words over the last couple weeks. You know what I love about it is over and over again over the last 2 years that revival is being, the words now coming are, you will see revival and it will be in the midst of unity. You will actually have revival because of your family anointing, the family anointing. And I love that. I don't want to see signs and wonders and miracles without being a family at the same time. Amen. Let's go a little farther. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is what he's saying. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away, here we go, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of those of water whose waters do not fail. My favorite verse, those from among you shall rebuild the old places, waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. That's what we want to do. I so love hearing how people came in on a somewhat of a performance day on last Sunday. You know, we did performance and then the message and the service, but isn't it amazing that Julie's mom was weeping when we were trying to have fun? What does that tell you? It tells you that God's presence is here. Whether we're laughing and having fun, because that's okay, she's being rocked. Who can even explain that? It really was not, like, none of those moments were those moments where, like, this is so tender. We're talking about Brock's hot dogs. Lennon Pam's smoked ham. And yet, a woman's having an encounter with Jesus. I love it. I love it. I love it. For 2020, I want to challenge, encourage. I think we already are a different church, but I just want to go after it. If you find yourself criticizing, I want to encourage you to stop. It's like, again, this unleashing that everybody has the right to criticize everybody else. I don't know where we decided that was okay. Because my Bible doesn't say it's okay. My Bible says to love unconditionally. Turn to 1 Corinthians. We might as well go there. I was reading it. I think it's so interesting in 1 Corinthians 13. We use it for marriage. It was never really meant for marriage, but it's a good platform for marriage. 1 Corinthians 13. You know what I love about 1 Corinthians 13? It follows 1 Corinthians 12. Makes sense, right? But what I love about it is 1 Corinthians 12 is talking about prophecy and all these different things. It's trying to, you know, bring order and explanation and all that. And so we can get, it even talks about going after all the gifts, and we want all the gifts. But then it says in 1 Corinthians 13, actually, let's start with 1 Corinthians 12, 31. But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Then it says 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass and of clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but not have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And then it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. And I think that's so true. All of us, we're going to get to heaven one day and go, I cannot believe I got this right. And we're also going to go, I cannot believe how wrong I got this. Honestly. And I think everybody from every denomination is going to be doing the same thing. Wow, we nailed that. Boy, did we miss that. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. I believe there'll be people up there who'll be like, really? You made it in? And there'll probably be people that were like, really? They didn't make it in? If we can go after Isaiah 58 and 1 Corinthians 13 and learn to love, it doesn't mean, I wrote this down, let me make sure I read it correctly. I said, two things I want to make sure that we continue to cross the aisle, which everybody is doing, which is wonderful, and crossing the aisle via Skype to Italy. Was it Italy? You know, that we're crossing the aisle in multiple ways, meaning getting out of our comfort zone and trying, you know, so many people are crossing the aisle. We got people that are on the streets, people that are connecting, people that are ministering to their family. I love it. And then I said this, cross the aisle, love often and judge and criticize rarely. Especially when it comes down to what we believe is right. Instead of going, you know what, I'm just gonna bless you. I'm gonna use my mouth this year to bless you. What if we did? Hey, what if we did a crazy idea? What if we took a year to experiment? I follow this guy, he's a productivity guy. And everything that he wants to write about before he ever writes about, he experiments on himself. He does crazy experiments. Like, because he wants to be a productive person. So he's like, what would I be like if I watched 6 hours a day of Netflix and then I tried to be productive? He would do it for a month and then he would write about it, all the different things that he discovered. One of the things he discovered is how lazy he became because he said, I wasn't motivated anymore. I just wanted to watch Netflix all day. So he would try these. What if we tried for a whole year? We said, you know what? Let's take a year and experiment and let's see if the Word of God works. We know it works, but let's go, hey, what if we, every time we wanted to criticize, chose to go, how do I bless right now instead? It would be difficult, wouldn't it? And we're not going to get it 100% of the time, especially when it's really close, people really close to us. But what if we began to go, you know what, right now, I have all these criticisms coming to mind. I'm going to shut it down, and I'm just going to pray a blessing over them. It was Wendy Backlund. Wendy came for a women's conference. I was reading her book the other day, and she said when they got a hold of the power of blessing, they used to sneeze, fake sneeze, so they could get blessed. They'd be on a subway, and they'll be like, watch this. And people would go, bless you. And they're like, thank you. I'm like, that's taking it to a whole nother level, but if you need blessing, take it while you can, right? But what if we as a church went, I will not criticize. I will bless. I will bless. You just got to turn on the media. You just got to turn on the news. You know, the funny thing is we all think we're right. I just think that's hilarious because we have one massive Christian denomination that is so right, and you got one over here that's massive and thinks they're so right. So why don't we just focus on what we need to? Amen? We're going to take communion. You have another card in front of you. While we were worshiping, I thought, you know what? Let's start off 2020 powerfully as we take communion. This shows up the most with churches. Churches against churches often. Denomination against denomination. And please hear my heart. I'm not talking about, you know, there are some things that we have to stand up against. I'm not talking about being flimsy on sin. You know, abortion is wrong. The sex slave industry is wrong. Like, these are wrong things. I ended up having two people stop by my house the other day. Mormons, Church of Latter-day Saints. And it was funny because Caleb was like, there's somebody at the door for you. He was out of there. So I walked out and like, hey guys, Jehovah Witness? They're like, no, we're Mormons. I said, I'm a pastor, just so you know. And they're like, okay. And I didn't have enough information, but it was really interesting. So I went back after and I was starting to research some things. And, you know, there's a lot of things a lot of things you disagree with. But you know, one of the things I walked away with? These people take 2 years of their life to go and witness. They're missionaries for 2 years. I didn't know that. They pay their own way. They go to another place. They don't stay local. They go to another place. And for 2 years, they go door to door and share about their conviction. I thought, well, if one thing I can take away from that is we need a little more of that. There's a lot of things I want nothing to do with. But that's one thing I can take away. So you have a card in your hand. This is what I want to do. We're going to take communion. Maybe, Steve, we can get the communion things out. Is Becca still here? Yes, no. Maybe. Oh, Becky, you are. Maybe the piano's working now. I won't even touch it. It's the computer shut down. You have a card in front of you, and I want to start it with a real... Maybe it's a risk for you. I don't know. I want to bless churches today. There are churches that we know of. There are churches that surround us. There are churches that have hurt you. There are churches that you totally disagree with. I felt like today we need to write those churches down. We don't need any information on there than the name, and we're going to bless them. Because if we're going to be an equipping center, we better learn how to bless others. Because people will honestly come and go, be equipped, and be sent. That's what we, if you do not understand what we are, we're not just a church. We were never called to just be a church. We try to actually pastor well in the midst of doing what we're really called to do, which is to be equipping and a training center. You guys understand that? We don't want to just come in and do church. We want to train you. We want to equip you, and we're seeing it happen. I love the fact that some of you go to people that you know in the congregation instead of us for prayer. Doesn't offend me one bit. Because you know that these people have had victory and breakthrough and you long to see that in your life. I love that. We're all priests, right? We're an equipping and training center. If you want to come and just be a church, we're probably awkward. You know, we ask you to cross aisles. You can't hide. That's the reality. You can't hide in our church. And that's why people don't like it sometimes, because they want to go to a church where they can hide. We're like, well, we just want you to be blessed. And we're going to send people to you to pray for you. It's just the way. And we're going to actually ask you to pray for people. We don't want anybody to sit. We want to equip and train. So as we sit for a minute, what church do you need to bless? Churches. What's the church that drives you crazy? Start there. We can all write the church that we love. If the first one's Antioch that you put on there. I just had this looking through and seeing Antioch. Well, that's the church that drives you crazy. Well, that's great that you're here and bless you. But honestly, what is a church that you're like, man, I've criticized them for a long time. Today, I'm gonna write their name down and bless them. I'm not saying that you have to accept and agree everything that's either happened to you through that church or every doctrine that they believe. But what I'm saying is, let's start the year blessing them. Because we would do better to say, Lord, you deal and you figure it out, because my words only curse. It does nothing to help. The only thing it often does, it drives a stake deeper of separation. Honestly, that's the only thing it really ever does. Maybe there's a pastor you need to forgive. Just take 2 minutes and pray about it. You know, I think when we grow to that next level is when, like recently when I heard a situation of a pastor that had fallen, and when I heard the person saying, I knew it all along. I knew that they were vile. I knew that they would do this. I thought, Lord, help us to back up and begin to cry out to God for them. Because if we know it, if we're waiting for their fall to prove ourselves right, we've missed it. If Jesus could be on the cross and forgive the very ones that were putting nails in his hands, this is the pattern that we're supposed to model. And I will be the first to tell you, I do not always model it well. But I am trying to become more like Christ. And if that becomes our purpose and our why for 2020 and what we want to see happen, then we have to look at these things. We have to look at the fact that if we see fault in that person and we know that they're going to crumble their life, we should be on our knees. Because unless you've walked a day in leadership, and specifically maybe in their life, you'll never know what's coming against them. You'll never know their background. You'll never know their fear and their pain. You never know. You won't know how often they've been betrayed that has led them. I'm not giving excuses, but there are reasons why people fall. Most people don't wake up one day and go, you know what, I'm going to choose to blow up my life today. That sounds like a good idea. Steve, I would blow up my life. Sound like a good idea? Please don't. But the pain inside of people, the hurt, the betrayal, the disappointment causes people to blow up their life. So if we're waiting for these people to fall, we need to step back and go, what is wrong with my heart? I'm going to get on my knees and begin to pray for these people. I don't always do it. But how about 2020? We do. Amen? So you got some names. Let's do this as a family. Let's come and throw our place, our, we don't have to throw them, across the front. And we're going to take communion all around. And let's begin to say, Lord, we're going to have breakthrough in 2020. And so is every church labeled here. Every church, we're going to begin to say, Lord, would you break through into their ministry, into their lives, into their hearts? And I don't want to pray what we think should happen. Yeah. I don't want to, like, okay, now we're going to say this is what needs to change their ministry. No, Lord, you bless them however you see fit. Ridiculously bless them. And Lord, whatever needs to be corrected, you go after them. Because it doesn't work if I do. Amen. Come on up. Grab communion. Find a spot. Heard a story once of a pastor who thought, man, there needs to be healing among people. So the pastor decided one service that he was going to basically say, if you need to forgive someone, you need to go to them. And little did he know that he ended up having a line for him that was like the whole sanctuary and out the door of people needing to forgive and come up and make it right. And he thought, well, didn't expect that one. One of the things as a leader, I'll tell you this. If you're looking for perfect people, if you don't think that at some point I will disappoint you, Mo, he's like, you already did. Just joking. People are people. The family still looks through all that and goes, yeah, but we love each other and we continue to go after it. So Father, I thank you. There's probably, I would imagine, 100 churches represented. Lord, we stand here as a family, thankful for all that you've done. In the good, sometimes in the confusion, you are still a good God. And Lord, we just stretch our hands towards every church represented here. We ask that you would bless them. Lord, we would love to see revival hit every church. I remember so long ago, that was one of the things that our leadership at the time taught us. If revival comes, but it doesn't hit our church, it hits the church next down the street, will we still rejoice? And so, Lord, we ask for revival to hit every church. Lord, an outpouring to hit every church represented. Lord, 2020 would go down. We've been praying and believing for a greater harvest. I pray that 2020, every church represented, including ours, would see a greater harvest than we've ever seen. Lord, I pray that even the salvations will literally be in 1 year what they've been in our entire 25, 27 years of being a church. And Lord, that would be the same for every church. Lord, we lift up every pastor that's represented. Any pastor that's ready to call it quits. Any pastor that's burnt out, broken, shipwrecked, disillusioned. Father God, we just pray right now that your grace would support them and carry them. Lord, I pray even tonight, Lord, that they would have an encounter with you. Lord, you would meet them in their sleep. You would wake them up, that they would have something, Lord, that would spark them once again. Lord, I pray for even every priest that's represented in Essex County that at one point gave their life because they loved you and find themselves 30 years in and it's just a routine. Lord, I pray that you would breathe on them. Catholics, United, Presbyterian, Anglican, Lord, you would breathe upon the pastors of these churches and they would come alive again. The very thing that caused them to give their life for the gospel, I pray that you would breathe that upon them again in 2020. Thank you, Lord. And for us as a church, Lord, pray you give us the courage to continue to go after what you've called us to go after. That we would train and equip. That we would worship until you show up so people can have an encounter. That we could share continually the good news of the gospel. That we could pull the gold out of people even when they don't believe it themselves. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage to close our mouths for the negative and open our mouths for the positive in 2020. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake. Thank you for the blood that you shed, Lord. Why we think it's our own actions is kind of humorous, but it's the blood of Jesus that sets us free. We thank you for the blood and the body that you shed that gave us freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now grab a hand next to you. Somebody's hand. Father God, we bless those on our right, those on our left, those in front, those behind. Lord, we declare over them with our mouth disproportionate favor. Lord, I pray that my neighbor would have disproportionate favor in 2020 over their life. That Father God, they would be highly blessed, highly favored, highly anointed, and breakthrough in their life in 2020. Bless you. Yeah. Everybody sneeze so we can be blessed. 1, 2, 3. Achoo. Bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you. Amen. Love someone. We thank you. May you have a blessed New Year's Eve.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.